Model Test 7. Part 1. Dictation. Listen to the following passage. Altogether, the passage will be read to you 4 times. During the first reading, which will be done at normal speed, listen and try to understand the meaning. For the second and third readings, the passage will be read sentence by sentence, or phrase by phrase, with intervals of 15 seconds. The last reading will be done at normal speed again, and during this time you should check your work. You will then be given 1 minute to check through your work once more. Please write the whole passage on answer sheet 1. Now, listen to the passage. Before the 1850s, the U.S. had a number of small colleges, most of them dating from colonial days. They were small, church-connected institutions whose primary concern was to shape the moral character of their students. Between mid-century and the end of the 1800s, more than 9,000 young Americans went to Germany for advanced study. Some of them returned to become presidents of honorable colleges and transformed them into modern universities. The new university greatly expanded in size and course offerings, breaking completely out of the old, limited curriculum. The second and third readings. You should begin writing now. Before the 1850s, the U.S. had a number of small colleges. Before the 1850s, the U.S. had a number of small colleges. Most of them dating from colonial days. Most of them dating from colonial days. They were small, church-connected institutions. They were small, church-connected institutions. Whose primary concern was to shape the moral character of their students. Whose primary concern was to shape the moral character of their students. Between mid-century and the end of the 1800s, Between mid-century and the end of the 1800s, more than 9,000 young Americans went to Germany for advanced study. More than 9,000 young Americans went to Germany for advanced study. Some of them returned to become presidents of honorable colleges. Some of them returned to become presidents of honorable colleges. And transformed them into modern universities. And transformed them into modern universities. The new university greatly expanded in size and course offerings. The new university greatly expanded in size and course offerings. Breaking completely out of the old, limited curriculum. Breaking completely out of the old, limited curriculum. The last reading. Before the 1850s, the U.S. had a number of small colleges, most of them dating from colonial days. They were small, church-connected institutions whose primary concern was to shape the moral character of their students. Between mid-century and the end of the 1800s, more than 9,000 young Americans went to Germany for advanced study. Some of them returned to become presidents of honorable colleges and transformed them into modern universities. The new university greatly expanded in size and course offerings. Breaking completely out of the old, limited curriculum. Now, you have 1 minute to check through your work. That is the end of part one, dictation. Part two, listening comprehension. Section A, talk. In this section, you will hear a talk. You will hear the talk once only. While listening, you may look at the task on answer sheet 1 and write no more than 3 words for each gap. Make sure the words you fill in is or are both grammatically and semantically acceptable. You may use the blank sheet for note-taking. You have 30 seconds to preview the gap-filling task. Now listen to the talk. When it is over, you will be given 2 minutes to check your work.
Agriculture in Britain. Good morning, everybody. I'm Elizabeth Reed. I hope that this first section, which I've called an Introduction to British Agriculture, will provide a helpful background to the farm visits you'll be doing next week. I think I should start by emphasizing that agriculture still accounts for a very important part of this country's economy. We mustn't let this blind us to the fact that agriculture and its supporting industries still account for around 26% of our gross national product. And now, just 2% of the workforce contribute 20% of GNP. How is this efficiency achieved? Well, my own view is that it owes a lot to a history over the last 50 or 60 years of intelligent support by the state, mainly taking the form of helping farmers to plan ahead. Then the two other factors I should mention, both very important, are the high level of training amongst the agricultural workforce. And secondly, the recognition by farmers of the value of investing in technology is also a remarkable factor. Now, although the UK is a fairly small country, the geology and climate vary a good deal from region to region. For our purpose today, we can divide the country broadly into 3. The region you will get to know the best, of course, is the north, where we are at present. The land here is generally hilly, and the soil thin. The climate up here, and you've already had evidence of this, is generally cool and wet. As you will see next week, the typical farm here in the north is a small, family-run concern, producing mainly wool and timber for the market. If we contrast that with the eastern region, the east is flatter and more low-lying, with fertile soils and a mixed climate. Average farm size is much bigger in the east, and farms are likely to be managed strictly on commercial lines. The third broad region is the west, where it's a different story again. The climate is warmer than in the north and much wetter than in the east. The resulting rich soils in the west provide excellent pasture, and the farms there are quite large, typically around 800 hectares. The main products are milk, cheese, and meat. So clearly there are marked differences between regions, but this does not prevent quite a strong sense of solidarity amongst the farming community as a whole, right across the country. This solidarity comes in part from the need to present a united front in dealing with other powerful, interesting groups, such as government or the media. It also owes something to the close cooperation between all the agricultural training colleges, through which the great majority of farmers pass at the beginning of their career. And a third factor making for solidarity is the national structure of the Farmers Union, of which virtually all farmers are members. All right, that is all for today. I wish you would enjoy your farm visits next week.
Now you have 2 minutes to check your work. This is the end of Section A, Talk. Section B, Conversations. In this section, you will hear two conversations. At the end of each conversation, 5 questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken once only. After each question, there will be a 10-second pause. During the pause, you should read the 4 choices of A, B, C, and D, and mark the best answer to each question on answer sheet 2. You have 30 seconds to preview the questions. Now listen to the conversations. Conversation 1. Bob, as a successful businessman, do you enjoy being a leader?
Yes, of course. I think if you want to get some excitement in your life, you ought to become a leader. How do you influence others? How do you make a difference in their life and the organizations that you are going to lead?
But not everyone is a born leader. they need a little help along the way. What are some of the big mistakes that people make when they are in leadership responsibilities?
Well, I think the biggest mistake is they don't realize that there are two parts of leadership. One is the visionary direction part, which is where we're going, you know. What are the goals? What we are trying to accomplish? And the leaders got to take a major role in setting those. And once the goals are clear, now the second part of leadership is how do we get there? That's when you have to philosophically go to the bottom in the pyramid and become the coach, cheerleader, supporter of people as they are the ones that are going to be accomplishing the goals. So we teach people about vision and direction and implementation.
So what's your outlook on those who want to lead and organize their own business?
Well, I think, first of all, you have to find something that you love to do, that you have energy with, because then you'll take the time to be the best. And then you have to find out, okay, how can I make a business out of that? You know, do I want to be a coach, or do I want to be a teacher, or do I have a product that I think people might be interested in? So find something you are passionate about. And then, of course, the biggest issue in running a business is you need good finances. And so you need to have some people that'll help you. And then you got to know more about managing and leading people.
All right. And say you are someone who is just now entering the workforce. You get it into the job place or the job market. And then, you know, suddenly you kind of disillusioned that, wow, this is a little bit harder than I thought. How do you maintain that kind of excitement so that you can excel?
Well, I think the best advice I've ever given to people is when you go to a job, find a mentor, find somebody who's older than you that has some experience than you, and ask them if they would be your mentor. Because a lot of times we get a job and it's more difficult than we thought, and we don't know where to turn. And so a lot of companies don't set that up. So set it up for yourself.
Good idea. This is the end of conversation one. Questions 1 to 5 are based on conversation 1.
Question 1. Why does the man enjoy being a leader?
Question 2. What is the biggest mistake leaders make?
Question 3. What should a leader be in the implementation stage?
Question 4. What is the biggest issue in running a business?
Question 5. What does mentor mean?
Conversation 2.
It's a simple question at the center of almost any discussion on education reform. What makes a good teacher? But the answers are many and often complex, and the questions can lead to debates over exactly how and how often teachers should be evaluated on their job performance. At the front lines of this debate are charter schools, the fastest growing sector of American education, with 2 million students now enrolled in more than 5,000 such institutions across the U.S. Today, we have with us Stacia Toll, CEO of Achievement First, a network of 22 charters along the East Coast, serving mainly low-income minority students. Achievement First has developed a comprehensive checklist to evaluate its teachers.
In the past, teacher evaluation has focused on observations, which, at their worst, become stage dog and pony show experiences that don't actually tell you a lot about teachers' effectiveness, or even more importantly, how they need to improve. The teaching model at Achievement First is different from the teaching model at most other schools in terms of the way the lessons are set up. So it is extremely beneficial initially because teachers can get immediate feedback.
Can teachers get feedback every day?
Yes. Teachers here find out every day how effectively they have taught a lesson with short quizzes called exit tickets. Students are required to take one at the end of each class to measure their level of comprehension. But test scores and the results of classroom observations are not the only factors here that determine the quality of a teacher.
So, what are the other factors?
We have parent, student, peer, and principal surveys. So the teacher is really getting a whole 360 take on what they are doing well and what they need to improve.
A large part of the Achievement First plan to keep excellent teachers and those with potential to become great is the teacher career pathway.
Yes, it's a model designed to place classroom educators into 5 career stages, depending on experience and classroom effectiveness, beginning at intern and concluding at master teacher. Reaching the 5th and final stage would bring a significant pay increase, although exact compensation figures are still being worked out. The goal is to encourage teachers to stay in the classroom rather than move toward administrative jobs with higher salaries. We have got to improve student outcomes, and in order to do that, we have got to attract and retain very talented people as our teachers, as our international competitors have done. And we think a big part of that is saying, you can make this a meaningful, rewarding career.
That's right.
This is the end of Conversation 2. Questions 6 to 10 are based on Conversation 2.
Question 6. How many students are there in charter schools?
Question 7. Who take the majority of Achievement First students?
Question 8. How does Achievement First teaching model different from those of the other schools?
Question 9. How will teachers be evaluated in Achievement First?
Question 10. Why would excellent teachers willing to teach rather than be an administrator?
This is the end of Part 2, Listening Comprehension.